Born in the pandemic era, thriving in the Zoom era, it's Resonance Rewind, sharing lessons from the creatives of yesteryear for the population of today.
Captain's log, stardate 44012.3. The Enterprise remains docked at McKinley Station, undergoing a major overhaul and refit following the Borg incident. I'm confident that the ship and her crew will soon be ready to return to service.
Thank you. Please take that to engineering.
Phaser upgrades are complete, Commander.
Already?
And we have begun power supply calibration.
Well, you're just too damned efficient, Lieutenant.
Thank you, sir.
Continue with the testing, Mr. Worf. Here's the final schedule for the shore leave and for the personnel transfers. By the way, I'm looking forward to meeting your parents.
Sir?
They're on the visitors list. You didn't know?
No, sir. It is inappropriate for a Klingon to receive family while on duty. As humans, my parents do not understand.
Well, I'm not sure that I would either, Worf. Since this isn't a Klingon ship, if you don't want to see your parents, that's your business. But we don't get back to Earth that often. I'm sure we could arrange for you to have more off-duty time while they're here.
No, sir. That will not be necessary.
Dismissed. Mr. Worf, if you're worried that they might learn about what happened on the Klingon planet...
Not at all. I have already informed them by correspondence of my discommendation. I do not believe any human can truly understand my dishonor.
So, where have you decided to go?
What? Oh. France, Labar. My home village.
Really?
Yes. It's the first time in almost 20 years.
Interesting.
Counselor.
I just find it interesting. Captain Jean-Luc Picard, the man who couldn't be pried out of his seat for vacation for 3 years.
It's Earth. It's home. Do I need another reason?
I don't know. What do you think?
Your help has been invaluable during my recovery. But look, I'm better. The injuries are healing.
Those you can see in the mirror.
The nightmares have ended. All I need now is a little time to myself.
I agree. In fact, I'm delighted you're going. It's just that the choice of where you're going could stand some scrutiny.
If you wish to believe my going home is a direct result of being held captive by the Borg, be my guest.
Is that what you believe?
I hate it when you do that.
Captain, you do need time. You cannot achieve complete recovery so quickly. And it's perfectly normal after what you've been through to spend a great deal of time trying to find yourself again.
And what better place to find oneself than on the streets of one's home village?
Interesting. Have a good trip, Captain.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise.
its continuing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Maybe it's just me, maybe I'm being sentimental, but there was a specific reason why we decided to look at this particular Residents Rewind around Thanksgiving, because clearly being grateful for family is a very critical aspect of the human condition, let alone anything else from that point of view. But will, of course, the next generation of Residents Rewinders actually have something to share when it comes to family and so on? Well, we've got a couple already lined up and ready to go. And we'll start actually by going to our relative newbie, of course, in this whole process. That would be Anna Koskinen. Anna, what did you make of this sequel, of course, to a fantastic two-parter, which was highly rated by the Residents Rewind team, Best of Both Worlds, and, of course, the aftermath that we see here in the Les Lando-directed Family?
Well, firstly, thank you for inviting me, Alex. I found it highly interesting, and I was just waiting for my first to be here to get the chance to talk with you about this and just discuss it all together.
This is good. Okay. Well, as I said, Thanksgiving, literally being celebrated in the United States, I feel, although a lot of the action here takes place both on the Enterprise and, of course, in Le Bar, France. And sadly, our French correspondent, Victoria Simmons, who will be performing, of course, is currently actually in Newark. But Jessica Bertis, a whole new experience for yourself, the first time you've seen this episode. And again, as I said, probably best considered as part of the trilogy, with, of course, the last two episodes we've reviewed with the Best of Both Worlds.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I think the theme of family, too, it matched very well for coming out of Thanksgiving for me. So that was, it was very nice to see. I think that this was really different from the past two episodes for the big battle happening and everything. This was a lot slower. It focused a lot more on relationships. And you know, I love All's Well That Ends Well type of plot. So I actually really liked this episode. I thought it was very nice to kind of end on this note for, like you're saying, this trilogy of episodes. It's a very high note.
Yeah, I still feel, as I say, the emotional wallop of Robert and Picard when they go through what originally is a farcical battle in the mud. And obviously two brothers who, again, as Robert says, I still don't like you, Jean-Luc. But at the same time, the whole bonds, the connection between family transcend all of that. We haven't even started, of course, on Worf's adopted parents, Sergei and Elena Reshenko, which again is an interesting sort of talk to how Klingon is being brought up by a couple of Russians. Jared Palmer, what did you make of this?
So for this episode, I think this is the second time I've watched this one, and I really did enjoy it. I think I understood it a little bit more the second time I watched it, just because I hadn't watched this consecutively with the series before. I think I watched this as a one time when it aired on Virgin. So for me, I really did enjoy it. I do kind of see this as a trilogy in the way, I think, I know it's not always seen as that way, but I think when you suggested it in the previous two episodes, I think it actually kind of works, and I really did like to see sort of a bit of the background of Picard, because I think we got it a bit in season one, and sort of like there was some hidden traumas he was like discussing because he didn't like to be around children. So I thought, okay, so he's probably had a really bad childhood or a traumatic one. And I think we can clearly see the influences from him and Robert. And I really did love the interactions between them, as well as also the sort of the comparisons between his family as well as Worf's family. Because for Star Trek, I don't think we've seen a parent bring up a Klingon. We've seen a half-human Vulcan with Spock, but I think this was the first time we actually saw what it would be like for a Klingon to be brought up in a human family. So it was very interesting, and I really did like this episode.
And clearly that very important aspect of different cultures relating to the way in which that's been brought up, something that's very much in the news, certainly in terms of Britain, where far too few children are being adopted because they happen to be of a different race from possible parents and other aspects. So there are an awful lot of issues there where people are actually having to effectively survive in the system. Jessica, let's talk Guinan, because I think once again, just as she did in part two of Best of Both Worlds and arguably part one as well, she's providing advice here, not in this case to Riker, not to Picard, but certainly to the parents of Worf. How did you feel that was played out?
I mean, I think, you know, Guinan was once again the voice of reason and wisdom. And I thought it was a very sweet conversation, the whole prune juice thing. It was very heartwarming how Guinan was so just, you could, even though I haven't seen a ton of episodes with Worf and Guinan and a lot of the other characters for the Next Generation, you could really tell how Guinan felt so warmly towards Worf and so proud just as someone in the Enterprise along with Worf. And I think that getting to see that somebody else kind of praising him to his parents was really nice to see, because it wasn't just then about the relationships between his parents. It was also the relationship of like him and this new family that he has on the Enterprise and seeing these two families come together. So I love, and Guinan was one of my favorite characters last time. So it was nice to see that just little interaction, and it was just, I don't know, it's very wholesome. And I feel like Star Trek is, it has a lot of wholesome moments. But again, in the past two before this, it was so much, there was so much battle happening and, you know, everything like that. So it was nice to just see like a slow, happy moment where there was no danger and they were just talking about someone that everyone at the table loved.
There was, of course, the humor, which I suspect most of us have identified with, when you love your parents, but they can be quite embarrassing. Is that something that we can connect in terms of where we're sort of seeing that? I mean, obviously, I'm no longer with me in that point of view, but there is that connection where you think, yeah, okay, you know, I have all the specs and diagrams of Sergei and the lines from that. Anna, I mean, given that here we actually have two Eastern European characters portrayed by Georgia Brown and Theodore Bickel as the Roshenkos, Elena Roshenko and Sergei Roshenko and so on, was that something which connected with yourself? Were you familiar with the Star Trek Next Generation series as the kind of, you know, cultural icon it's certainly become as far as America and most of Europe is concerned?
What I can say is that it's not specifically European, the background. The surname is more like with Slavic origins. So I can't say it's 100% specific to Europe. But of course, we do hear a lot of these names around. But in terms of what I connected with the most out of everything, European or not, was, as Jared was mentioning earlier, the moment where the captain had his breakdown, because that's when we, I think, got to see a more vulnerable side of him, and we were able to see him beyond the captain mask. So I think that was an interesting correlation that I could make.
Certainly, I think Patrick Stewart, this is one of several episodes where I think he actually manages to get the tension between having to be a leader, having to effectively be seen as a figure of authority and a coordinator, and at the same time, obviously, having very much his own personal challenges. Probably the others that would spring to mind, which we may look at in the fullest of time, would be The Inner Light. And probably, as Jared would say, Star Trek First Contact, which, of course, again, you could argue is a sequel from this. There are three stories, really, though. I mean, we've looked at the Urushenkos, we've looked at Worf, we've looked at, obviously, Picard and Robert. We'll come back to that, because we still need to talk about, obviously, Picard's nephew or uncle or nephew and so on, and the relationship within that. But what about Wesley Crusher? What about Wesley Crusher for the first time actually encountering a vaguely interactive version of his father, who, of course, had died when he was an infant, so he'd never actually seen him? How did that impact you, Jessica?
I mean, it was very sweet to see, and it was very moving. I think I'm kind of a sucker for those point, like, plot lines a little bit, where it does have, like, the parent who has recorded something for the child as they grow up. Like, you see that a lot, and I never get tired of it. I think that it's a trope that, and this also was done well. I think it tied into that whole family theme that we had happening, and I think it also helped me appreciate different types of families throughout the show, because it kind of showed that even though all of these characters have very different families, all of them are still very integral to who the characters are and their development. And I think that getting to see that represented was very nice. There wasn't just one type of character here. And yes. I think, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Carry on, Jessica.
I think also it just, having it come towards the end too, definitely it felt more emotional because you've gotten to see kind of all these families reuniting throughout it. And then you see this character who can't really physically reunite with his father, who didn't really grow up with him, but still getting to experience part of him. So I thought it was very moving.
Jared, Samantha Egger, of course, well-known British actress, plays Marie Picard. Jeremy Kemp, Robert Picard. I mean, the argument very much that Robert is evincing, and it, again, I think it's one of the teeny tiny bloopers, which I think we'll allow when Patrick Stewart refers to him as Robert, as opposed to Robert in terms of the French pronunciation of the whole thing. But that looking towards the past while somebody else is looking towards the future, it's a tension we still have in the 21st century, isn't it? There are many people who actually say that, you know, the notion of artificial intelligence, all of the convenience, and of course, Robert's refusal to allow Marie Picard to have the convenience of the replicator, which you would say, well, that's a bit, little bit sort of patriarchal from that point of view. Did you feel those issues were being effectively addressed?
I think they were, actually, and it was interesting to see that, because I think from Robert, he sort of inherited that idea from his father, and I think later on we do see a bit of that influence. But I think for me, it was a really good, interesting to show that not everyone had adapted to the so-called, like, where everyone can live in, like, a paradise sort of thing, as what Gene Roddenberry had, because Robert seems to struggle with having the replicators, seeing that people become too reliant on it. And I do sometimes think that watching Star Trek, they do rely a lot on the machines and a lot on the system. So I do kind of see his point. But at the same time, he's also Picard also sees that tension, because he sees it. I would say a younger sort of like son and his nephew sort of like sees him as being like wanting to explore, to get out there, and he sees Robert being a bit overprotective. So I think it was an interesting sort of conflict to deal with, and it's definitely one that I'd wish they touched up a little bit more, but I think for this episode it covered it well.
Yeah, there's a danger that certainly we kind of become too reliant on things at all. I keep going back and dialing back to this whole notion of the fight scene, etc., and that line that Picard uses, and we'll hear it again in the program, actually. I should have been able to stop them. I tried so hard, but I wasn't strong enough. I wasn't good enough. I should have been able to stop them. I should have, etc. Did you feel that was the right tone, Jessica? Did you feel that actually what we had there was somebody who was not quite having a mental breakdown, but clearly was deeply obsessed? Because let's face it, as you've seen the first two episodes, and certainly Best of Both Worlds Part 2, he had been through arguably technological trauma.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like we discussed before, I had been not happy, but I think that it's I think it's good that the plot, that the show really just portrayed the after effects of being assimilated by the Borg, because I think it was such a massive experience that Picard underwent, and it was forced on him, and seeing how he reacted to that, I thought was really necessary. I thought it would have been strange if they glossed over it, but they didn't, and I'm glad that they continued it in this and really explored how he felt about it, because I think it's so interesting seeing Picard so vulnerable, because he is just the leader, you know, he's responsible for so many people. He's usually the one that's controlling things, calling so many shots, and then you see him where he was completely out of control, and that's so, it just seems so wrong for his character, and just how fragile that he kind of have been feeling afterwards. I think it's really important to show those strong characters having those important moments of vulnerability, because like his brother said, Jean-Luc Picard is an actual human being. And it's good to remember that, that even though he's a larger than life character, it's good to see that he still has, I don't know, just the sensitivities that anyone would if they went through that. I mean, he handled it a lot better than I think a lot, or at least I would, but it was, I thought, you know, just seeing them fighting the mud and laughing and then him crying and the eventual kind of then just hanging out in the house singing and tracking mud everywhere. It was nice seeing him kind of in that place of just being a kid again, even after everything that he's been through. It felt very safe, and I'm glad that Picard finally got a little bit of a break, because he really didn't, he couldn't catch a break in the last two episodes with the Borg fight. He really couldn't. So I'm glad that he had this moment of calm, and I thought it was good to see his character's progression.
Jared, favorite moment or moments?
I would say it would have to be the fight scene between Picard and Robert in the mud, because I think for me, watching it beginning for the first time, I thought Robert was coming off a bit harsh, especially because Picard was suffering. But I think when watching it back, when he starts to become involved with Lewis and the Atlantis project, I think then he starts, he's like, Picard's trying to hide and try to run away from what he's dealing with. So I think in then he becomes a little bit too brutal, but I think he needed to break Picard down in order to get to the level to understand what had happened to him. So I did sort of see it as a way, like he was trying to help him, but he sort of did an unorthodox tactic. And I think for that, seeing Picard in that way, I think it was very interesting as well, because I think a lot of the times in the previous episodes, he's built up quite a lot of stoicism. And this time where, of course, in the previous two episodes, he's been captured, he's been brainwashed, his knowledge and experience have been used against him, and he feels to himself, he feels the guilt that he should have been able to stop them and all the deaths that happened. And going on forward from this, you definitely do see it in Deep Space Nine when he comes across Sisko, because he still sees the guilt of his actions in that. And I think through a lot of the times in his interaction with Sisko in that episode, you sort of see his like trauma come back to haunt him. And it will continue to haunt him throughout, I think, Next Gen, and even to Picard as well.
Indeed. And spoiler alert, of course, there is a tragic ending to the Picard family that we only hear about in Star Trek Generations. But that's for another time, Jessica, before we actually move any further in terms of that. I know, can't catch a break. Anna, any favorite moments for yourself?
I think that would be the relationships throughout the music and throughout the movie that were between the parents when it was how they were pictured. At first, there were those embarrassing moments that we all have with our parents, and you know, when they, let's say, visit us for college, and we just want them to leave. No, we don't want our friends to see us with them. And then when you picture the captain and you see him, and then you see their wish of being again with their loved one, and how you miss the touch of a parent in the long run, and you think of an ideal life and you can't imagine it with your parents. I think the movie, even though it wasn't even on a second note of the storyline, I think it underlines it quite well.
Yeah. And Jessica, which honorable mentions or elements for you stood out as being key to the whole appreciation of this? I mean, of course, we would find out in other episodes of Star Trek about Deanna Troi's mother, her somewhat overbearing nature, played by Majel Barrett. We'd also find out about Geordi LaForge's strained relationship with somebody who was his mother as well from that point of view. So, you know, this is something which we did work through, and clearly Wesley Crusher, well, his mum, Beverly Crusher, is still there, but obviously we've already talked about it as well. So what about your own particular highlights or favourite areas from this show?
I think seeing Worf telling his parents that, you know, being honest with them, telling them, you know, when I first saw your name on the roster to come visit, I wasn't really looking forward to it, but I'm actually really glad that you're here. I think that that moment was really sweet. Like, he was being so honest, you know, and I think that a lot of people will understand, like, where, you know, he might be coming from, and how he was a bit nervous not only to have them meet people from Enterprise meet them, but everything turned out okay. And I think that that was a very sweet moment between them all. But then also Jean-Luc going home and, you know, everyone embracing him outside the winery, and I thought that was very sweet. I mean, not his brother, but yeah, it was just very sweet to see that, and to actually have an episode where part of it was on Earth and very centered around Earth and not completely in space. I thought it was nice that we had both happening. It was kind of cool just to see like a real world country in the show about space and the future, and it helped kind of keep it a bit grounded. No pun intended.
and of course, Robert did actually provide Picard with a small bottle, a small token, with the advisory, try not to drink it alone and drink it sparingly, I think, which is very important in terms of obviously still looking after his younger brother, who clearly he was jealous of at one stage, because, as you said, it was Jean-Luc who was effectively the valedictorian, he was the winner, he was the superstar of the family, and Robert was the person who kind of was the, in a sense, the ploughing, never complaining workhorse that was working through that. But of course, it was his wife Marie who said that Picard isn't part of the family; he is family, which I think was also a critical thing. Which again echoes the title of the episode too. Okay, let's move on then to the whole aspect of scoring elements for this. I will actually mention one sort of thing, and it's not quite a favourite moment, but I'm fairly certain that the Kindle device actually takes as its logo very much the final shots that we see of Renee sitting by the bough of the tree. You even have the shooting star that goes past in the background. And if you look at the Kindle logo and compare it with the final shots of this particular episode, I think you'll find it very similar in many ways, really, in terms of the way that's actually portrayed. However, what about scores for the episode in its entirety? And let's turn to Jared first.
I'd give it a 9, really, because I really did enjoy this episode, especially when we get to find a lot more about Picard's background. And because I think the one thing the series, for me, didn't really explore was his sort of his conflict and his estrangement from his father, which I think this episode kind of makes up for it. So for me, I would give it a 9. I feel like the cinematography was beautiful, the landscape, and also the contrast between Worf and Wesley's sort of like parents. So yeah, 9 for me.
Okay, well, we'll see about the 9, but of course, you know, clearly we're changing things around, swapping things around a little bit. We haven't really talked about favourite characters. Jessica, your favourite character or characters?
So hard for this episode because I feel like so many characters really shown in this. But I think Worf, honestly, because I hadn't paid too much attention to Worf before as a character. I just knew that I really liked his like metallic sash. I thought that was really cool and that he was a nice character, but I think actually getting to really see so many layers of him made me notice his character way more and want to kind of review and look at his character's role in different episodes that we've already previously watched. So I think it's definitely Worf, but Picard, very honorable mention, of course.
The reference that Worf's parents obviously make to his discommendation ties into an episode called Sins of the Father, in which effectively he returns to his Klingon culture, but he effectively, to prevent his father or to disgrace, etc., he agrees to accept the discommodation. So effectively, he's disowned by his own particular people, the Klingons and so on, which clearly was one of the things which had concerned his parents and wanted to work through that. Something else which we returned to in a later season 4 episode. Anna, your favorite character or characters?
Well, this time I'm going to stick with Captain Picard because the duality of him showing his emotions and being able to express them on stage, along with the fact that he was a leader and he had to be tough. I thought it was interesting, and it showed that men can be emotional as well as tough and go on with their duties and do what they have to do.
Yes, there's a lovely moment when he returns to the Enterprise. And of course, there is that question that really we know he's back at the Enterprise, because when we first see him at Le Bar France, he's in his civilian outfit. He's not in the Starfleet uniform, but when he leaves, he's in the Starfleet uniform. And of course, there is that moment where he encounters Worf's parents for the first time and clearly has a kind of serious face on. But then when they leave, there's a slight sort of indication, there's a wry smile there in terms of he appreciates Worf's embarrassment and obviously appreciates sort of how that was being developed. So again, a good touch from there. Jared, what about your own favourite character or characters?
I would say it have to be Picard and Worf in this one, because I think I really do like sort of like the way they've been put into the episode, and I especially like it from Worf because we're still dealing with the sort of like him having to live with the shame and having to with the disgrace being cut off from his own sort of like Klingon heritage. And in a way, I think it's going back into the Klingon honor sort of way. And I think for him, it was kind of hard to come back from it, and especially it becomes a very sort of, I would say, a burden for him, but also a shame, which his parents understands sort of the reasons why he had to do it. And of course, later on, he does come, well, I won't spoil that part, but at that point, he also has his own issues with sort of the Klingon sort of homeworld. And I think that's something that we didn't really explore a lot in the original series, and I'm glad that Next Gen managed to explore it.
Mm. Well, the Klingons were very much an analog for the Soviet Union, and in particular, the Russians. Just as the Romulans would be an analogue for the Chinese in similar routines. And as we talked about, arguably, you could also see the notion of the Borg being an analogue for the technological aspects of the whole thing. So it's very much science fiction as allegory from that line of things there. So far, Michael Dorn and Patrick Stewart certainly leading ahead. Of course, Jonathan Frakes as William Riker, who does appear, not necessarily to a huge numbers of time there. He also had issues with his father, which we also see a manifest, which as goes back to Jessica's first point, maybe that's part of the family of the Starship Enterprise crew, which is why we enjoy watching them in the same way that Anna is a major fan of Friends. Who would have thought it? But there we are. Who knows? We might sort of consider one or two of those episodes later on in the system. Okay, well, we've had Jared's score. Anna, what's your score out of 10 for the Les Lando-directed episode of Star Trek The Next Generation, Family?
Well, given the fact this is the first movie I have to give a score to out of every other movie, I'm just going to go with 8, because it was quite interesting. But I had to rewatch a few parts multiple times to actually get the hang of them. So just for that, it's less than 2 points.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. I'm not sure whether the streaming services allow an instant translation as yet, but I'm sure that'll be put together in the near future. And Jessica, what's your final considered viewpoint on this last journey into the Star Trek universe for a wee while, before we actually head off into a recommendation that you were very keen that we should actually follow?
I think I'm going to give this one actually a 9.5 because I really liked it. I think it works very well with the two that came before it. And I can't really think of much to criticize about it. I think it was a slower episode, but I think that was necessary after all of the action and craziness of the whole Borg situation. But yeah, I could have watched another hour of Jean-Luc and his family in France. But I thought it was just, it was a very heartwarming episode. It was very different from all the other Star Trek episodes we've watched, and I thought it was very nice.
Yes, I think the inner light, which is something we'll probably come around to in a not too distant future, where Picard lives an entire lifetime in 5 minutes, is also equally poignant, but that's for another time and another place. I'm probably going to go with the 10 for this because, as I said at the start, of the three in the trilogy, I think this was the one that kind of really anchored it effectively well and not only reset in a way which wasn't simply a case of, well, nothing ever happened, but actually did lead to a consideration and a reflection on the consequences of traumatic instances, which sadly we all tend to be faced with at some time in our life journeys. And speaking of life journeys, I mentioned earlier that Jessica had specifically put in a request for this. So we start off with another two-parter, with part one next week, part one the following week, a two-parter which is entitled Genesis. Another Star Trek thing? No, not at all. But the genesis of Dr. Sam Beckett leaping, where nobody has leapt before into past lives in his lifetime, trying to put right what once went wrong. Only companion, of course, the holographic friend called Al, with a whole variety of things. We're going back to 1989 as far as this is concerned. So not too far. I mean, literally, the next Star Trek Next Generation family was 1990, so a year before that, but also back in 1956, which is the first leap that Sam Beckett actually takes. Yes, Jessica, we can now actually start exploring, as you said, quantum leap, time traveling, but time traveling through the mind, and so on. That's up next for Resonance Rewind. Anything you'd like to talk about in terms of quantum leap? Because, I mean, I know you've been watching it with your mom and seeing various other things. Scott Bakula, of course, is the lead character. Anything you can prepare for Jared and Anna to actually connect with for this one?
It's very fun. It's not so much intensely life and death as space battles against the Borg, but it is still very fun. And it's the kind of show that you can sit down and watch with the whole family.
And as we say, for some of our absent friends, Ian Barnsley, who's having to sort out some social duties, etc. Likewise, Larry Nemechek is currently on a plane flying to Chicago for another Star Trek convention. It's the sort of thing he does. And in addition to that, we have to wish Pamela Suman's daughter, Faye, happy 18th birthday. So I feel it's only right, basically, if we do that. So do you want to wish Faye a happy birthday, Jessica?
Happy birthday, Faye.
Jared?
Happy birthday, Faye.
Anna.
Happy birthday, Faye.
Actually, Anna, would you like to do that in Romanian?
La mulți ani, Faye.
Splendid. For the rest of you, keep on resonating. Resonance Rewind will return.
Tired of fighting with you, Robert.
Tired?
That's right.
Yes. Tired of the Enterprise, too? The great Captain Picard of Starfleet falls to Earth, ready to plunge into the water with Lewis.
That isn't the brother that I remember. Still, I suppose it must have seemed like an ideal situation, hmm? Local boy makes good, returns home after 20 years to hero's welcome.
Not a hero.
Of course you are, admit it. You never settle for less than that, and you never will.
That's not true.
Cancel the parade? In your favor?
No! I never sought that rubbish.
Never sought president of the school valedictorian. Athletic hero with your arms raised in victory.
Valedictorian? Arms raised in victory? You so jealous?
Yes, damn it. I was always so jealous, and I had a right to be.
A right?
I was always your brother.
Watching you receive the cheers, watching you break every rule our father made and get away with it.
Why didn't you break a few rules?
Because I was the elder brother, the responsible one. It was my job to look after you.
Look after me? You were a bully.
Sometimes, maybe, sometimes I even enjoyed bullying you.
Right. Try it now.
Why did you come back, Jean-Luc? Did you come back because you wanted me to look after you again?
Damn you! You were asking for it, you know.
Yes, but you needed it. You have been terribly hard on yourself.
You don't know, Robert. You don't know. They took everything I was. They used me to kill and to destroy, and I couldn't stop them. I should have been able to stop them. I tried so hard. I wasn't strong enough. I wasn't good enough. I should have been able to stop. I should.
So, my brother is a human being after all. This is going to be with you a long time, Jean-Luc. A long time. You have to learn to live with it. You have a simple choice now. Live with it below the sea with Lewis, or above the clouds with the Enterprise.
Yeah, I think you were right, after all. I think I didn't come back so that you could help me. Yeah. You know what? I still don't like you, Jean-Luc.
What happened here? It's
entirely my fault, Murray.
Yes, I fell down and then he fell down and then...
And then we both fell down.
We both...
Together.
But we both fell down together.
Mm-hmm. Have you two been fighting?
Fighting? No, certainly not.
No.
Shame on you both. What would your father say if he saw you like this?
Probably send us both to bed without any supper.
Well, perhaps it's just as well you got it out of your systems.
Perhaps it was, Murray. Perhaps it was. I'll contact Lewis and cancel the meeting with the Board of Governors. It's time that I was going.
Already, Jean-Luc?
The ship will be ready to leave orbit soon. And I belong aboard. If I should ever doubt that again, I know where to come.
Computer, load program Crusher 1.
Program complete. Enter when ready.
Run program.
Hello, Wesley. As I make this recording, you are about 10 weeks old. I wanted you to know who I am today. You see, this Jack Crusher won't exist by the time you're all grown up. I'll be older, more experienced, and hopefully a little wiser. But this person will be gone. And I want you to know who your father was when you came into the world. When I see you lying there in your crib, I realize I don't know the first thing about being a father. So let me just apologize for all the mistakes I'm about to make as you grow up. I hope you don't grow up resenting the fact that I was gone so much. That comes with this uniform. I don't know if I can explain why Starfleet means so much to me. Maybe you'll understand when you get this recording. Maybe you'll even want to try one of these on. But you'll probably be a doctor, like your mother. You're only a baby, but it's remarkable. I can see in your face all the people I've loved in my lifetime. Your mother, my father and mother. Our family. I can see me in you, too. And I can feel that you're my son. I don't know how to describe it, but there's this connection, this bond. I'll always be a part of you, Wesley. Well, I hope this makes some sense to you. I'm not sure that it does to me, but maybe I'll do better next time. I love you, Wesley.
Goodbye, Dad.
Come back and see us again. Goodbye, Jean-Luc. And be careful.
Take care, Uncle.
You too. Someday, I'll be leaving for my starship, too.
Well, there's plenty of time for that. You may decide to do something else as you get older.
Jean-Luc, here is a little of the 47. Do not drink it all at once. And if possible, try not to drink it alone.
Theorizing that one could time travel within his own lifetime, Dr. Sam Beckett stepped into the Quantum Leap Accelerator and vanished. awoke to find himself trapped in the past, facing mirror images that were not his own, and driven by an unknown force to change history for the better. His only guide on this journey is Al, an observer from his own time, who appears in the form of a hologram that only Sam can see and hear. And so Dr. Beckett finds himself leaping from life to life, striving to put right what once went wrong, and hoping each time that his next leap will be the leap home.
Thank you.